Welcome to Rangers Blue Line, covering the blue shirts from the SNY studios. Here's your host, Brian Compton.
Hello, welcome to Rangers Blue Line. Brian Compton, Nick Lacalzi, and Adam Rotter here. We're all on Skype. Our producer, Jason Pateria, does a tremendous job. He's down in Port St. Lucie with the Mets, so we're scrambling here to give you guys our weekly show. We're going to take your Twitter questions in just a few minutes. We're also going to preview the Rangers-Islanders showdown at Barclays Center on Thursday night. But first things first, Nick, six in a row for the Rangers, and all of a sudden we can start talking about home ice advantage in the first round of the playoffs again. They're right in the mix.
Yeah, Brian, they did a really good job fighting through some lulls in their play in that game. You know, I think it started to turn around a bit when Dan Girardi, of all people, got that shorthanded goal to go. Kevin Hayes in the third period. And can we talk about Jimmy Vesey and the move he put on Savard and the shot to beat Sergei Bobrovsky, who is in the running for Vezina Trophy this year?
Yeah, if only the Rangers played the Blue Jackets more often, right, Adam? Vesey has two goals in his last 16 or 17 games, and both have come against the Blue Jackets.
Well, as long as they play them in Columbus, the Rangers seem to do okay. But when they play at the Garden, it's kind of like how we're trying to record this show. It's just mess up, screw up, one after another.
Kind of a scenario of you don't know what you've got till it's gone with Kevin Hayes. That was a beautiful goal, right, Nick? I mean, he just brings so much balance to the rest of the lineup when he's healthy.
He really does. I mean, he's such a weapon. The way he can use his size and his reach. He's one of those guys, Brian, that seems like for part of his career and going forward, he's going to be a bit of an enigma, because you see plays like that and some of the other magical things he could do with the puck and with his reach and with his talent. And then he'll go two games where you're wondering where or when. And then he'll go five where you think that he's the future of the Rangers down the middle. But, I mean, he's a keeper. Kevin Hayes is a guy that's going to be really, I think, an important part of the Rangers' future going forward.
And the same thing goes for JT Miller, Adam. That was a heck of a play to help set up Dan Girardi's shorthanded goal.
Yeah, the two of them, they've both kind of, you know, we saw it with Miller last year that he took a step and he's taken a bigger one. Hayes kind of jumped over that Miller took and just went from, you know, a bad season last year to just being great this year. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the Rangers prospects, their young players, everything looked so barren. You know, the window seems wide open again.
And the same goes for Antti Raanta, who finally gets to play. He'd been injured. His wife had a baby. A lot going on with Antti Raanta. But he was really good in Columbus as well, Nick.
He didn't miss a beat. Yeah. I mean, it felt like, I can't even tell you the last time we saw Raanta. It feels like it's the first time in the new year. It's been so long between the bye and the All-Star and the injury. And he didn't miss a beat, Brian. It was actually shocking to me how well he played. I mean, he has been brilliant this season for the Rangers.
And Adam, we have to restart the conversation about finding games for Antti Raanta, because as we've been saying all along, you want Lundqvist to be on top of his game and have gas left in the tank come playoff time.
Yeah, and I think now they're in a position where they can, you know, Henrik's in his rhythm now. He found his game. They're playing a regular schedule of almost every other night, two or three times a week. So now, you know, Henrik can play most of the games, but you can give Raanta every third game, every fourth game. I mean, Lundqvist said it was nice to have a break against Columbus, and I think that's probably the first time he's ever said that. So I think he's now that he's found his game, I think he's going to go with the plan.
Totally agree. And obviously, Adam's going to be devastated by this, but we're not going to promote the Islanders Point Blank podcast because of complaints from Ranger fans that they don't want to hear about Islanders talk. So, Adam, I'll let you get one last joke in before we stop doing that completely.
I'll be honest, Brian, you cut out a bunch of times, so I'm not entirely sure what joke to make. There are so many.
We don't get to talk John Tavares anymore, bro. Hey, what about the fact that they're playing tomorrow?
I want to give the fans what they want. I've gotten multiple complaints that it's a Rangers show and they don't want to hear about the Islanders. So I want to give the people what they want.
The customer's always right.
But having said that, the Islanders are back in the mix despite that 7-1 loss to Toronto the other night. And this is a big game for both teams, quite frankly. The Islanders need the points more than the Rangers do. But like I was saying earlier about the Rangers, they're right back in the mix. They get home ice in the first round. So two big points for the Rangers as well.
I think it's a good test for the Rangers, not even looking at the standings, Brian, just for the fact that the Islanders always play well against the Rangers, and they put up goals on Henrik Lundqvist. And as Adam was getting to earlier, Henrik looks like he found his groove, right? He looks like his rhythm is there, his timing is back, and he's found his game, he's found his confidence. But this is a big test. The Islanders, red hot, you know, scratch off the loss to Toronto. That happens every now and then. They need to bounce back. It's in Brooklyn. It's a big test for Henrik Lundqvist.
And that's a great segue to our Twitter questions. Thanks to those who sent questions to me over Twitter. I really appreciate it. The first one, Adam, is from @JackJensen22. Is Lundqvist still capable of carrying a team through the playoffs?
I don't see any reason to think he's not. I mean, usually the Rangers get into trouble when they can't play well in front of him and they turn the puck over. But if they manage the puck well and they can score and Lundqvist can find his groove early on in the first period, you know, it's more of a game-by-game situation, but I don't see any reason to think that he can't lead the Rangers again.
I'm with Adam. I think what Henrik's shown the last few weeks here is if you put any sort of a competent defense in front of him, he's still an upper echelon goaltender in the National Hockey League. And I think the defense is much more of a worry than Henrik Lundqvist getting the job done.
Yeah, I think he's still going to have a couple of hiccups down the stretch here. It's only natural to think that. I mean, he is going to be 35 next month, but the way he's played over the past couple of weeks, I don't think there's any reason to think that he's not capable of carrying the Rangers through the playoffs. Thanks for that question, Jack. Next question is from @RustyMac26. Nick, how long can their win streak last?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it goes much further, Bri, than early next week. I don't think I can see them coming out of these next three games unscathed. The Islanders, the Capitals, and the Canadiens, all right, like playoff teams. I think it's safe to say that the Islanders are, maybe they're not a surefire playoff team, but the Caps and the Canadiens are. I think it would be nice for the Rangers to get two out of those three, but I don't see the win streak going much further than the weekend.
Yeah, Adam, I can see them winning in Brooklyn Thursday night for sure, but that game on Sunday against the Caps is going to be awfully tough. They are just firing on all cylinders right now.
I don't see them going on any sort of Columbus-like run or making a run at the record, but, you know, the Rangers are playing well, and they've got good opponents coming up, and there'll be good games for the Rangers to play. And I think, you know, look, they're going to lose again at some point, so I don't think it's the end of the world whether this goes 7, 8, 9, or 10 games.
Yeah, they have a lot of tough games coming up, so I don't know how much longer this win streak is going to last. Thanks for that question. Next one is from @Caccioli22. Are the Rangers regretting not going long-term for Hayes and Miller? Will Rangers send a pick to Vegas to protect anyone? Nick, it's hilarious, man. People are just so fascinated with this expansion draft. Doesn't matter where their teams are in the standings. Miller and Hayes obviously each have one more year left on their deals. I think they're both going to stay in the mix long term. We have to remember that at the end of next year, Rick Nash's contract comes off the books.
Yeah, there's going to be money available, but the Rangers are going to have some tough decisions to make. You know, it's going to take more than just Rick Nash to pay Hayes, to pay Miller, to pay Zibanejad. There's quite a few tough decisions here for the Rangers, but I don't know if I would say they regret not going long term. Hindsight's 2020, right? And they were, Hayes especially was coming off a meh year. You know, he didn't really do anything to jump off the screen. Miller, I could see being a little bit more upset that they didn't go long term with him. But again, it took them a while to get long term with Kreider. They finally did that, and that's paying off as well. As far as sending a pick to Vegas to protect anyone, Brian, if the team stays very similar to the way they are now, or and even if they add at the trade deadline without subtracting a player that's expansion draft protected, I would say, yeah, they do send a pick to Las Vegas, especially if it's the difference between Michael Grabner staying or going.
Adam, what do you think?
I don't think they regret it, mostly because you had no idea Kevin Hayes, especially with Hayes, you had no idea Kevin Hayes was going to, like I said before, jump, make this enormous leap into being the consistent player he's become. I was in favor of going 3 or 4 years for Miller just because I thought that he had shown enough, but I understand why they didn't. And, you know, look, I always think that the Rangers are happy to pay guys if they're worth it. And right now, Hayes and Miller are going to be worth it to them, and they'll figure out who gets moved where down the line. In regards to Vegas, I mean, sure, send them a fourth-round pick so they don't take Antti Raanta. That, whatever.
I think as far as Hayes and Miller go, they're two key pieces to this franchise moving forward. I don't think either one of those guys are going where. And the Rangers always just seem to find a way, fellas, to keep the guys that they want. It's a good segue to our next question. At Shape Spur, if you're the Rangers, do you go all in and go get a top four right-handed defenseman? Nick, I don't think they're getting a guy like Shattenkirk without trading a guy like JT Miller. And why on earth would you part with Miller right now?
I agree. That's the only way I see Hayes and Miller not being here long term is if one gets moved for a right-handed defenseman of the present, of the future. I don't think that's for Shattenkirk that more. I think if you lose one of them, it's more along the lines of a Trouba than of a Shattenkirk right now, just because he's so close to unrestricted free agency. I don't see the Rangers going all in for a Shattenkirk per se, Brian, but I could see them going more of a mid-level move. I mean, I know I keep bringing the name up, but for a guy like Mike Green to try and take a crack without having to gut the system even further, really.
Yeah, Adam, the problem with Green is his salary cap hit, so wouldn't you have to trade one of these guys making $3 or $4 million to make it work?
To trade for anyone to go all in, you're going to have to move a lot of money around. You're going to have to teams are going to have to eat money. It's going to be very difficult. But the main reason to not go all in is, yeah, they've won six in a row and Henrik's found his game. This team wasn't playing well a couple of weeks ago. This team isn't putting together a lot of 60-minute games right now. This isn't like 2 years ago going for Keith Yandel when things were wide open and you really felt like you had a shot. There's, you know, there are some dominant teams, like the Capitals, and then, you know, the Penguins are just a bad matchup for the Rangers. I don't think it's worth it, nor do I think there's a player available or that they have the assets to make a move like that.
Totally agree. Last question is from at the underscore KZB. Nick, will Buchnevich ever not be misused by AV again?
The questions of how AV uses young players drive me a little bit crazy, Brian, because look what he did for JT Miller. You know, Miller was one of those guys where, yes, there was some question marks. It seems like some fans think young player, you just stick them in the top six and all of a sudden you keep watering them, maybe throw a little miracle grow on top and they're a top six NHL player. And it just doesn't work like that. So, yes, Buchnevich needs some seasoning. Look, are there times where I disagree with the fact that he's on the fourth line and think he should be bumped up? Sure, but I think Vigneault has shown that young players tend to blossom under him. Now, if you're talking about a young defenseman or how he handles the defense, there we can open it up to questions. But as far as young forwards with top six talent developing under Alain Vigneault, I think Chris Kreider, JT Miller, Kevin Hayes, that's a pretty damn good track record.
Yeah, Adam, I think this is more a depth issue than anything else. I don't think it's anything that Buchnevich is not doing. The Rangers are just a very deep offensive team right now.
Where's he supposed to play?
Right, exactly.
Is there some sort of second line that I don't know about that that Tanner Glass is playing on? You know, we said it from the beginning. This team is so deep that one of VC or Buchnevich was always going to have to be on the fourth line. If a guy like Grabner, Faust, Lindbergh, Peary, if one of those guys stepped up, and Grabner has more than stepped up, one of the young guys was going to be on the fourth line. So there's no other option. He was still getting some power play time. It's just the way the game is breaking right now.
Yeah, I think it's just a good problem to have. I wouldn't complain too much. I think Buchnevich will be a key piece for this team down the road. But right now, like I said, the Rangers are just stacked offensively, and that's a good problem to have. Before we go, let's talk about this playoff race for a minute here, fellas. Nick, we talked about it before we tried to start recording here. You'd rather go the Atlantic bracket route than perhaps go for home ice in the first round of the playoffs?
I would. Yeah, I just think, and that's not to say that you're afraid of Washington and Pittsburgh, because it's getting to the point where I think the Rangers, in spite of their defense, are a top five, six team in the NHL. And then from there, it is true, anything can happen. There's not that big of a gap between them and the elite team. Sure, there's some pieces that need to be added, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that they can beat one or both of those teams. I just think from a Rangers standpoint, it's safer to have to go through Montreal and then one of the secondary teams in the Atlantic if you beat the Canadiens, which, again, is no gimme with Carey Price and Shea Weber and the rest of that Canadian team. But if you're telling me the Rangers are getting the Canadiens and then the Senators, Bruins, or Leafs as opposed to the Pens and the Caps in rounds one or two, give me that matchup all day.
Yeah, I mean, it worked for the Islanders last year, right? When they dropped that last game so they could play Florida in the first round of the playoffs. But I'm not a fan of, you know, if you have a chance to have a home ice advantage in the first round of the playoffs, why would you pass that up?
My feeling, and I agree with everything that Nick said, my feeling is that if the Rangers end up with home ice, and this won't always be the case, but if they end up with home ice, they'll have ended this third of the season playing really well and playing at a level that possibly, you know, is better than where they were 2 weeks ago. And, you know, they could be a better team, more capable of beating a Pittsburgh or a Washington. You know, if it happens that Pittsburgh, the Blue Jackets and the Rangers all stumble around and struggle to find their seedings, then I think you'd obviously want to try and go the Montreal route. But if they're playing well, I don't think that they should be afraid of anyone.
Totally agree. And no matter what, the Eastern Conference playoffs are going to be off the charts. So many good teams, particularly in the Metropolitan Division. Fellas, thanks for sticking with us. Hopefully this sounds all right when people get this show on iTunes or SoundCloud or wherever they listen to this show. Thanks for sticking with me.
We did it.
We may have a show next week. Our producer is still in Port St. Lucie, so bear with us. We'll try to work out the kinks and give you guys another show next week. In the meantime, enjoy the game in Brooklyn on Thursday. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon.
This has been Rangers Blue Line, part of the SNY.TV audio network.